In Hebrews chapter number 11, one verse of scripture, verse number 6. Hebrews 11 and 6, it says this, "And without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must what? Believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Let's read it together this time. Ready? Read. "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Let's read it one more time. "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be unto God. Hebrews is a book that was written to some followers of Christ that were experiencing persecution and hardship as a result of their faith. These were people who, because they named the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because they made a decision to live for him and follow him, were being persecuted because of their faith. Now, many of us are still unfamiliar with this, although we're seeing more of this happening around our country and around our world. And if you stand up for Jesus on your job or in your school, you'll experience it too. It's everywhere. Not the type of persecution that they were probably suffering. We don't suffer like that. But the writer of Hebrews writes this letter to them because they were experiencing some excruciating circumstances simply because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And I can imagine that they, because of the persecution that they were experiencing, they started asking questions. Where's God? Where's God when the bottom is falling out? Where is God when it seems like all hell has broken loose against me? Where is God? And why are bad things happening to such a good person like me? Why do I have to go through hardship and persecution when my heart is to serve you and to love you and to go after you? Why am I experiencing this type of persecution now that I've put my faith in Christ? Because before I put my faith in Christ, things weren't going this bad. And now that I've made a decision to follow Jesus, to trust him with my life, to make him the Lord and Savior of my life, now everything's going wrong. Persecution, hardship. It was difficult for these Christians to continue to follow and to continue to go after the Lord Jesus Christ and to keep their faith because it was costing them so much. And as a result, people were walking away from the faith. People were saying, you know what, it's just not worth it. It seems like I was doing so much better before I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. They had a faith, but it was a faith that couldn't endure the hardships. They had a faith, but it wasn't a faith that could endure the storms of life. They had a faith, but when the heat of the day came, some of them decided to tap out. So the writer of Hebrews says, if you don't really believe that God exists and that following him is worth it all, he says, you're not going to make it. You're going to tap out. You're going to walk away. You're going to fizzle out. He says, it's impossible to have a relationship with God that pleases him. Let me stop right there. Do you know what you're here on earth for? It's for God's pleasure. You're here to please him. You know, when we read the Bible, we really begin the Bible starting with us. And we think it's about how God was created for us. When in fact, we were created for him. That's the truth of the matter. And so the writer says it's impossible to have a relationship that pleases him. If you don't have a growing faith that can sustain you through the trials and difficulties that life will bring you, and life will bring you trials and difficulties and hardships, and none of us are exempt from it. Well, I just gave my life to the Lord Jesus, Pastor Lel, and so now I know that I'm going to be on easy street. I'm never going to be sick another day of my life. I'm never going to be in want another day of my life. Newsflash. Your faith is going to be tested. And the writer here says, you can't go all the way with Jesus. Or you can't be fully committed to the mission of Christ unless you have a faith that is completely convinced, number one, that God exists. Let me stop right there. He's saying to the church, you have to be completely convinced that God exists. You know, back in the day, we didn't have to say stuff like that in the church. It was sort of assumed. But the truth of the matter is we have a lot of people that come in here have the same questions of the people that are outside of the church. And it's okay to have those questions. God's a big enough God that he can handle our questions and handle our doubts and handle our fears and handle our suspicions and handle all of those things. But the writer says that if you're going to have a faith that endures, it's got to begin with understanding and declaring and believing with all of your heart and all of your mind and all of your soul that God exists. And not only that, but that he rewards those who diligently seek him. How do you have to seek him? You don't even want to say the word. How do you have to seek him? Diligently, earnestly, persistently, faithfully, consistently, with all that you have, seek him. How about you? Are you completely convinced that God exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him? Are you convinced? The proof is in the pudding. I really don't know what that expression means. Like, why would the proof be in the pudding? Anyway, I'm sorry. Let me ask you a question today, and I want you to think about this for a moment. How much faith do you have? If you had to rate your faith on a scale of 1 to 10, 1, I'm barely hanging on, 10, I'm ready to walk on water, where's your faith? How much faith do you have? Because the reality is, it doesn't take much faith for us to be Christians these days. Yeah, right? When we leave here today, we're going to go home and we're going to open up the fridge and there's going to be food there. I bet none of you woke up today and said, God, please provide food for me today. Provide my daily bread. I'm trusting and believing you today for a meal. I don't think anybody did that today. As a matter of fact, all of us, I'm guessing, I imagine that all of us woke up under a roof today. And when we go home, we're not worrying or wondering whether or not we have a roof to go back to. There's probably nobody in here who's in fear of being homeless. We all have, or most of us probably have, good health. And even if we don't, we believe that we've got good medical care. So even when we get sick, we don't even have to trust God for healing. Just trust in Blue Cross Blue Shield. Trust in my doctor. Thank God for the medical community. Thank God for them. My question is, where's your faith? Truth is, we have more than we need. And so for most of us, we can actually come Sunday after Sunday, go through the motions with very little faith. without exercising very much faith at all. And I want you to think about this. I want to challenge you over these 40 days of faith to just begin to look at how much faith do I really have? And do I have the kind of faith that can endure persecution and hardship and trials and when the bottom falls out? Do I have the kind of faith that will go after what God is calling me to? Do I have the kind of faith that if Jesus says, I want you to come out of the boat and walk on the water, or I want you to come out of your comfort zone and go into a region that's very unfamiliar for you, are you willing to go? How much faith do you really have? And are you functioning by faith, or are you just going through the motions? Are you doing what's comfortable? Are you just in a routine or a rut, but you're not really living by faith? It is quiet in this Presbyterian church. But if we're gonna please God, we have to have a growing faith. And here's why you have to have a growing faith. Number one, if you're taking notes somewhere in your illuminator, there's a sheet in the back there where you can take some notes. I would encourage you to do that over these 40 days, to take notes. Got to have a growing faith. Number one, because at some point, you're going to face tests and trials that will test your faith. It's not if, it's when. Your faith will be tested by difficulties. Your faith will be tested by setbacks. Your faith will be tested by disappointments. And if you're going to please God, you're going to have a growing faith that's able to endure the tests and the trials that will come. Secondly, if you're going to have a growing faith, here's why you need to have a growing faith, because sooner or later, Satan will attack you. And he won't be going after your finances, although he may attack your finances. He won't be going after your health, although he may attack your health. He won't be going after your relationship, although he may attack your relationships. What he's trying to do is get you to lose faith. Peter, watch out. Satan's coming for you. He's coming to sift you as wheat. He's coming after your faith. If I can get them to walk away, if I can get them to lose trust and lose confidence, if I can just get them to just go through the motions, if I can get them to live not on faith, but just on what they know. You got to have a growing, vibrant faith, because sooner or later, Satan will attack it. And if you're not careful, you'll think that he's after your finances or after your health or after your relationships, and he's not. He's after your faith. Yeah. The third reason why you got to have a growing faith is that because you will come across a scripture at some point that's going to become hard to swallow. You're going to come across something that God says to you, and you're going to say, that doesn't make sense. And in order for you to obey, it's going to be because you have a growing faith. At some point, God's going to prompt you to do something that just doesn't line up. It just doesn't add up. It's just not logical. It's not rational. But sometimes God does things and asks us to do things that don't always make sense, because we see limited and he sees everything. He knows the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. And if we're going to be able to have a faith, a relationship with him that pleases him, it's going to be tested. And at some point or another, we're going to have to say, you know what, this doesn't make sense to me, but God, if this is what you want me to do, I'm willing to do it. At some point, he's going to call you to a deeper commitment past your comfort zone. He's going to say, it's got to go beyond just Sunday morning. It's got to go just beyond your convenience. It's got to go just beyond what you want to do and get to the place of having a faith that says, God, I'm willing to go and do whatever you say, wherever you call me to. Are you ready for that? And that's what the writer of Hebrews was saying to the church there. He says, you've got to have a faith that just goes beyond the routine and the ritual. You've got to have a faith that can endure and can stand up under the tests and the trials and the hardships that will come. Without a growing faith, you run the risk of having a form of godliness, but no power. So what is faith? Are you ready for this? Write this down somewhere. A couple ways. Hebrews says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is responding to the revelation that God is. That's what faith is. It's responding to the revelation that God, he just is. It's an acknowledgement of him as Lord, that God is God, and that he is real, and that he does exist. You know what else faith is? Faith is action. Faith is a verb. Faith isn't a noun. Faith is a verb. It's something you just hold. It's not just something you hold in your heart. It's a way of life. Faith is an action. You know what else faith is? Faith is believing without seeing. That's tough. Faith is believing without seeing. Faith trusts God even when you can't see what he's up to, but you know that he's up to something good. It's believing without seeing. The faith that I'm talking about is based on God's word. It's based on his promises. It's not based on being able to manipulate God for your own benefit. Let me say that again about faith. Faith is based on God's word, on the revelation that he's given us through his word and in his promises. It's not based on being able to manipulate God for your own benefit. Just because you say you have faith doesn't obligate God to do what you want him to do. People do that all the time. And it really messes up our theology. You know what? We're having a cookout. Well, you need to just believe God that it's going to stop raining. And then when it doesn't stop raining, they say, you just didn't have enough faith. But if you read the Bible, nowhere in it does it say that God obligates himself to stop the weather for your cookout. Hey, there's a job that I'm applying for. Well, you just need to have enough faith. It doesn't matter about all the other candidates. You just need to have enough faith. You need to claim it. You need to blab it and grab it. And that job is yours. And you should have it. And then if you don't get the job, then somebody, you just didn't have enough faith. Really? Because nowhere in Scripture does it say that he guaranteed me that job over there on 3rd Street. I'm losing somebody right now. I'm losing somebody right now. I'm believing God for this house. Believe me, I believed God for houses. Yeah. Me and my wife laying hands on the wall, sneaking with oil. Yeah. Really, it's like, what is this spot? I don't know. Anointing in one hand, lying on the other. You ever been there? You at the car dealership putting oil on the seats and the thing. Come on, y'all. Lay your hands on it. Y'all trying to play it off. You walking around it like 7 times. Now shout with a soft voice, y'all. Shout with your inside voice, y'all. But God never said that that blue one in the third row was yours. What happens is when it doesn't happen that way, then we start thinking, well, it must be that I just didn't have enough faith. But the faith that we're talking about isn't based on your whims or your wants. The faith we're talking about is rooted in God's word. Here's the good news. We can ask whatever we want, but God's not obligated to give us everything we ask for. Thank God we can ask. Thank God we can go to him with our requests. Thank God, and whatever it is, that he loves us enough and cares about us. His word even says that he delights in giving us good gifts, but he's not obligated to give you everything you ask for, but he does obligate himself to his word. Think about Paul. I mean, Paul, the Apostle Paul, the faith that he had. And yet he asked God three times, would you remove this thing here, this thorn in my flesh? God says, nope. Well, but I have faith. I believe that you can remove it. And Paul believed that he could remove it. And Paul also believed that he could leave it right there if he chose. Jesus himself had an episode like this. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And his prayer was, God, how about we let this thing just go by? How about we come up with another way of doing it? But then he says, but not, it's your will. In other words, I know you're not obligated to do this, but I'm so grateful that I can ask. But he says, I know that you always obligate yourself to your will. Your will is your word. And so whatever your word declares over my life, I know that I can speak that and declare that and grab a hold of those promises because you obligate yourself. And that's what our faith is grounded in. So we have to be careful that we don't have a faith that's based on, well, if I blab it, if I claim it, then I should have it. No, it's according to his will. It's according to his word. True faith is based on the promises of God's word. There's so many promises that God has for us. I mean, promises like God will meet all of my physical needs. Right? No, he didn't say how he would. He didn't say exactly to what degree he would. But in Matthew 6 and 33, he says, but seek first his and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. What things? All of your physical needs. He says, I will meet all of your needs. That's a promise that I have. That anytime I need something, I say, God, well, you know what? I'm just going to hold you to your word. And your word says, seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. And I'm going after you, God. I'm giving you all that I can. I'm doing my best, Lord Jesus. And you promised that you would take care of my clothing and my food and much. You would take care of my basic needs. Promises like God will give me wisdom if I ask for it. According to James 1 and 5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should what? Ask God, who gives how? Generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So if you lack wisdom, guess what? Ask God. And God will get, he will give you the wisdom that you need. Many times we make foolish decisions simply because we didn't ask God for the wisdom. Promises like God will finish the spiritual work that he has begun in me. I'm so grateful to God for that. That I don't have to trust in my own self to bring this to completion, but that because he made me a promise and I can remind him of this promise, that even when I'm struggling or even having a hard time, I can confess to him and say, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in me will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. In other words, I don't just get saved by faith, but I remain saved because of my faith, that he is bringing it to completion. It's a promise that he made me. Man, isn't it awesome when you can just say, hey, God, I'm just holding you to what you said. I'm just rehearsing what you promised and what you said and the things that you said that you would do for me. That's where our faith has to be grounded. And so many times people get so discouraged and fall away and misrepresent the gospel and the kingdom of God and the things of God simply because they think that because they believe in something strong enough, then God should do it. I'm so glad that there were things that I believed God hard for and he didn't give it. I try to tell my kids this from time to time. You know what? Really, I'm helping you. No, you're not. No, really, I'm helping you right now. I'm helping you. By withholding this from you, I'm helping you. And God does the same thing. He loves us so much that there are times that he withholds things from us, not to harm us, but to help us. He makes promises like, God will forgive any and all my sins if I repent. According to 1 John 1 and 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just. And he will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. What are you saying, Pastor Leon? What I'm saying is, if we're going to grow our faith, it's got to be rooted and grounded in his word. Not on whims. Not just on good ideas, not just on the things that we want. It has to be grounded in his word. I'm closing. I want to leave with you a number of things that I want to encourage you to do over these next 40 days to grow your faith. Are you ready to go on this journey with us for 40 days? Where we're just going to make a commitment to say we are going to grow our faith. Here are five things that you can do. And let me just say this. Maybe you don't need to do all five. Maybe you need to do one. Maybe you need to do two. Maybe you need to do one and a half. I don't know. But you need to do something. Number one, feed your faith with the word of God. Faith is like a seed. It needs to be nurtured. It needs to be fed. It needs to be watered. Jesus, when he was tempted by the enemy, by Satan, you know what he said to him? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Romans 10 and 17 says this, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So how does faith come? By what? Hearing. By what? By hearing. And how can you hear unless there be a preacher? So some of you need to make a commitment to say, hey, one of the ways that I'm going to help grow my faith is I'm going to start hearing the word of God. I shared this some time ago that I made this commitment. I was in Virginia some weeks ago, and we were doing a college visit with my son. And on that Sunday, we went to a church because I said, we got to make sure you got a church when you come down here to college. I know you're going to a Christian school, but the school can't save you. Jesus will. Anyway, so we went to this church, and we were in the service, and man, it was just so wonderful, and the pastor said something, and I just grabbed, do you ever grab a hold of anything during the services? That, oh, man, that was for me. That was, I don't know everything else he said, but that right there was for me, okay? And he made a commitment that every day he hears the word of God. And man, when I heard that thing, I said, oh, that's for me. That's for me. And ever since, I've made a commitment. I've been making a commitment to every day hear at least a half an hour of preaching every single day. Now, I've missed some days. And you will too. But anyway, but I've made that commitment. And what I'm saying is, faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word of God. For these next 40 days, I want to encourage you. Maybe you read the word of God out loud to yourself. Maybe you listen to preaching. Maybe you go on our website and pull up some of the old messages. Or there's so many different, be careful at every table that you eat at. But there's so many different places that you can go to hear the word of God. Now the Bible app will read the scriptures for you. We were having a devotional one day with the family. And we round robin, we share scriptures. They're like, Dad, that's old, man. We know people don't do that no more, man. What? He said, just hit this button, man. And the thing started reading the scripture. I said, man, we're just getting so weak and so lazy. But I'm going to listen. And what I'm saying is there's no excuse for us not being able to hear the word of God. You can ride in your car now and hear the word of God. Whether it's being preached, whether you have it your phone, you can connect. And some of y'all, you've got fancy cars. You can even connect your phone to the car so you can play the scripture and it'll play right through the loudspeakers. Can you imagine the atmosphere that you could create in your car and position your day that you, of the 10 minutes, the 15, the 20 minutes that you were riding to work, the whole time you were listening to the word of God, now when you get to the job, it's going to be hard for you to curse that person out. When the difficulty comes, and it will come, but your mind is in a different place. Why? Because you've been feeding your faith. So number one, feed your faith with the word of God. Secondly, exercise your faith with actions, or exercise your faith with obedience. James 2:26 says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Faith is a verb. Faith is an action. We exercise our faith when we obey the word of God. It's not just about hearing the word of God. We've got to begin doing the word of God. Thirdly, I love this one. Here's another way we can grow our faith is begin speaking in faith. Speaking in faith, declaring the promises of God, the word of God over your life and your circumstances. James says the power of life and death is in your tongue. Just imagine what the atmosphere would be like in your home if you went around just declaring the promises of God all over the place. Just imagine if before you have that hard, tough conversation, you said, you know, before we do this, can I just read this? It says something here in the Bible about putting each other's needs above one. Let's just start here. Let's just put this out into the atmosphere. Let's just declare this word of God here. Before we make this purchase, before we decide on what we're going to do, you know, let's just begin to declare the word of that. Let's not become anxious about anything. But with prayer and supplication, trust that God is going to meet every single one of our needs. Just imagine if you just started speaking the word and declaring the word of God over your circumstances, over your situations, over your relationship, before, as you cross the threshold walking into your job, but you're just speaking the word of God. As you cross the threshold walking into your house, you're speaking the word of God. As you're going through the supermarket, you're speaking the word of God and just declaring the word of God. As you walk into the bank and over your bank account and over your finances and over your dealings and all of your transactions, you're speaking the word of God over everything. Why? Because I'm building, I'm growing my faith. I'm grounding it in the word of God. Fourth thing, protect your faith from doubt. If you're going to have a growing faith, you're going to have to learn to protect it from doubt. James 1:6 says this, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. And so I've got to protect my faith from doubt. And then lastly, if I'm going to grow my faith, here's what I got to do. I've got to begin sharing my faith. I've got to begin sharing my faith. The more you share it, the more it grows. I love that about God. The more that we give it away, the more it comes back to us. The more we begin sharing the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ and telling them about the grace of God and telling them about how he's a savior and he will rescue everybody and anybody from their sins. When we put our faith and trust in him, it causes our faith to grow and flourish and expand. When you give it away, it doesn't take anything from you. It only brings it back to you 10, 50, 100-fold. Our faith grows. How do I grow my faith? Feed my faith with the word of God. Exercise my faith with actions, with obedience. Speak in faith. Protect my faith from doubt. And then share my faith. The more that I share it, the more it will grow. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? How much faith do you have? How much faith do you have? Is your faith growing? Or is it stagnant? Are you just going through the motions? Or are you connected to the Lord Jesus Christ? that you're obeying his word and you're obeying his commands and you're hearing him calling you out of the comfort zone and you're saying yes. You hear him calling you to difficulties, to difficult circumstances and situations, and even in the midst of that, you're saying, yes, I'll trust you. Yes, I'll obey you. Yes, I'll rely on you. Yes to your word. Yes to your will. Even when it hurts, even when it's difficult, even when it doesn't make sense. So, Father, over these next 40 days, and it won't end at the 40 days. The 40 days will mark a new beginning. A new beginning of living by faith. Your word says that it is absolutely impossible to please you without faith. Because anyone who comes to you, we have to believe that you exist. Not only that you exist, but that you are a rewarder. You grant us rewards for earnestly, diligently, consistently seeking you. So, Father, my prayer today for these your people is that we would be on a journey of growing our faith, not becoming complacent and stagnant. Not just going through the motions, but putting ourselves in a position to hear your voice and obey, to know your word and follow it and live it out, to trust you and trust the promises that you've made.